Support for Switched On Pop comes from Sonos. Take it from us podcasters and music fans. When you've been wearing headphones for hours, your ears and head can start to ache. Well, if you're looking for a pair that's designed to deliver excellent sound for your long listening sessions, then check out the Sonos Ace headphones. They're soft, adjustable, and offer up to 30 hours of battery life, so you can comfortably listen for ages without having to worry about frequent charging. Ready for better listening? Go to Sonos.com to learn more.
Welcome to Switched On Pop. I'm musicologist Nate Sloan.
And I'm songwriter Charlie Harding.
Charlie, it is the thrilling finale of Country Week.
Can it get any twangier?
Something we've talked about over the previous four episodes is this criticism of country. It's too formulaic. It's too overproduced. It's too bro-y. It's too corporate.
Yeah. All fair criticisms.
And many folks in the country industry see an antidote in the form of the loosely affiliated scene of bluegrass, folk, and old-time music collectively dubbed Americana, or roots music.
The outlaws. Well, maybe outlaws not right, because there's outlaw country, so these are the outlaw outlaws.
Yeah, historically, this Americana scene has been kind of distinct from the mainstream country industry, embracing an acoustic sound, traditional repertoire, and an appetite for virtuosic technique that you and I have loved for years, Charles.
It's the founding of the podcast, our old bluegrass band.
That's right. We met trying, mostly unsuccessfully, to recreate the sound of Americana groups like the Punch Brothers.
Yeah.
Rye whiskey makes the band sound better, makes your baby cuter, makes itself taste sweeter. Oh boy, rye whiskey makes your heart beat.
The voice and mandolin of personal hero Chris Thiele. You know, I have a version of us trying to sing that.
Now, while we attempted to cover songs like Rye Whiskey, which we were just listening to, I think ultimately we were more successful in drinking rye whiskey and then reeling off a rough interpretation of a bluegrass classic like Flat and Scruggs, Rolling in My Sweet Baby's Arms.
Rolling in my sweet baby's arms.
I'm going to say that the tuning on our instruments and voices might reflect the status of rye whiskey that was going on.
We've crossed a new threshold on the podcast, sharing these bootlegs with the public. Got to give a shout out to Steve Hall, Andrew Lim, Tim Drinan, Bess Cal, Vesmi Cullen, and everyone else who had the misfortune of jamming with us over the years. That sound has long been a popular but somewhat niche scene. Mm-hmm. Recently, that started to change. As we've been examining over the course of Country Week, country music has found a larger and larger audience in part by widening its sonic palette, incorporating hip-hop, Mexican regional, and other contemporary genres into the fold. And the mainstream country industry has also begun reaching into this world of Americana to rejuvenate the genre by reconnecting it with its roots. Artists like Sierra Farrell, Billy Strings, and Tyler Childers are injecting mainstream country with aspects of the Americana scene, the throwback sound, the propensity for shredding, and the church revival. So, Charles, I propose we get to know these artists, hear the ways they're transforming the style of modern country, and then let's see if this hasn't happened before. Like, you mentioned outlaw country earlier. Let's go through country history to find other times when Americana reared its head and took on the country mainstream. But I want to start with the first artist I mentioned, Sierra Farrell. Are you familiar with Sierra Farrell, Chuck?
Just a bit. I've liked everything I've heard, but I'm not deep in her repertoire.
Let's get to know her through probably her most well-known song. It's called In Dreams.
I'm in your dreams the way you are in all of mine. You've got a look so fine. I wish that I could make you mine.
I want to talk about the voice, and then I want you to talk a little bit about that guitar tone. Sierra Farrell has a voice that just stops you dead in your tracks. It's effortless. It's airy. It kind of plays around with pitch and melisma in this way that's so striking. It certainly owes a lot to country legends, like Dolly Parton definitely comes to mind here.
Mm-hmm. Jolene, 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 I'm begging of you, please don't take my man.
Characterful, the capacity to switch from this sort of nasal twang into this really angelic, airy quality.
And then, am I crazy? Or do I also detect a little bit of jazz in here, like a little Billie Holiday in Sierra Ferrell's voice?
What?
Living for you.
The way Holiday kind of floats over the melody, do we hear that in Sierra's voice as well?
I walk into the room and there you sit, you're so alone and quiet. I can't help but stare how out of you and it just ain't fair.
Yeah, I mean, both of them, first of all, have those beautiful glides. And then there's really sort of this focused, again, the very head voice leaning into the sinus cavity sort of resonances, none of the like way down here chesty thing.
Mm.
I hear, yeah, the Billie Holiday jazz thing. It's there.
So she's tapping into both the roots of country and other popular styles with her vocal tone. And then Charlie, I love the guitars in this.
Mm.
And they're so redolent of like country history. But what is that sound exactly?
That is a 70s Telecaster right behind me.
Da 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 da.
Okay, I want it to be a Telecaster because like that is the, you know, the original Fender guitar that is so associated with the twang of country. She's doing something a little bit different, you know, and that is what Americana does. You have this really twangy electric guitar played close to the bridge that gives you that spanky twangy sound. But then I also hear an octave above that, which makes me think that it's actually like a 12-string electric guitar, almost in the style of like the Byrds or the Beatles. And it's playing alongside the mandolin, which has double strings. I can show you the mandolin. You know, for every note, it's not just one note. It's a second note. Right? There's two strings that resonate. So there's just like, so this twangy quality is augmented by all of this orchestrated doubling. And it makes it a little bit more almost psychedelic.
We hear more of Sierra Ferrell's throwback, slightly psychedelic sound in one of her original songs that has almost like an old-time feel to me, but very modern lyrics. It's called I Could Drive You Crazy.
I can't even make a dish. I can drive you crazy, yes I can.
Yeah, this is like much more traditional. Mm-hmm. You hear the roots of like Irish, Scottish fiddle music, also the sort of like square dancey quality from old time. This is pre-bluegrass. Bluegrass, of course, is a genre of music which emerges post-war as a sort of false nostalgia for a music that never occurred. Like as electrification was happening, Bill Monroe and the Bluegrass Boys put together this five-piece setup, kind of like how there's like a jazz combo. There's a bluegrass quintet. You have your banjo, your mandolin, your violin or fiddle, I should say, your upright bass and your guitar.
Yeah.
That's bluegrass. But it had drawn from these earlier roots music, this old time sound that happened before the war, and you know, draw from all of American roots music. And I hear that happening in Sierra Ferrell.
At the same time, these lyrics, I Could Drive You Crazy, that sounds like it could be the title of a Sabrina Carpenter song or something.
It definitely does.
Now, this idiosyncratic mix of old time, bluegrass, psychedelia, I feel like this should be a very sort of niche artist.
Yeah.
And yet, what's really interesting to me is that Sierra Ferrell has done collaborations with some of the biggest country musicians out there.
Hmm.
She's featured on the album of an artist we talked about earlier this week, Post Malone, who made his way into the country world from the hip-hop pop world. And she's got a striking track with one of the biggest country artists right now, Zach Bryan, someone who has made his name in large part by leaning on this traditional Americana sound.
Hmm.
Check out Zach Bryan and Sierra Ferrell singing Holy Roller.
Greens and browns remind me of a mountainside. All the days that are to come and all the bad things that I've done. I ain't never been a holy roller, but I found God in your eyes.
I like their blend. It's so delicate.
I feel like 5-10 years ago, the mainstream Nashville country industry would not have a place for an artist like Sierra Farrell. But today, with this new expansive regime we're studying, it's like she belongs in the mix.
Yeah, it's like if you're going to allow Morgan Wallen to do 808s and trap hats, then we also need the polar opposite. We need that old time sound. We also need psychedelic 12-string guitars.
Indeed. Let's meet another artist who represents another aspect of the Americana scene and the way it's making incursions into the sound of mainstream country. It's the guitar virtuoso, the shredder himself, Billy Strings.
I ain't slim 7 days, heaven 83. If the amphetamine has got a damn good hold of me. Ooh. My tweaker friends have got me to the point of no return.
Yeah, that was our own flat picking genius, Charlie Harding himself.
Oh man, Billy Strings is fun. He is fast on that guitar. There's always, in any given generation, there's like that guitar player that everybody wants to get on a track because of how fast they can flat pick, the style of bluegrass guitar picking. Like the generation just before, I think of like Brian Sutton is on everything. Like he's the player on the Morgan Wallen songs we talked about earlier this week. Tony Rice, who played with the likes of Jerry Garcia and David Grisman in the Americana scene, was similarly talented, fast, had all his chops working. I feel like Billy Strings is carrying that tradition.
He's got chops. Absolutely. We'll hear more of them in a second. But that song we just listened to, Dust in a Baggie, it also shows how these new Americana artists are taking the traditional sounds, the traditional virtuosity, and infusing it with this modern relevance, because this song is all about methamphetamine addiction.
Yeah.
He says, my tweaker friends have got me to the point of no return, which in some ways is a kind of surprising line to hear in a country song. And then you remember, oh yeah, wait, the whole history of country music is about alcohol abuse. So this and prison, you know, so this is like very much in the tradition while also reflecting the 21st century world we live in.
I think beyond his chops, that's part of what makes Billy Strings such a notable bluegrass icon, is that, you know, he's someone who from a young age dealt with issues of substance abuse with hard drugs. But in the world of country, having overcome difficulty that others can relate to, that's a big part of an artist's narrative. And that's part of Billy Strings' story.
He actually addresses it on a song with none other than outlaw country legend Willie Nelson called California Sober.
So I'm California sober, as they say. And lately I can't find no other way. I can't stay out and party like I did back in the day. So I'm California sober.
That's, of course, sobriety with the occasional use of cannabis and psychedelics. So, of course, you got to invite Willie Nelson onto your track, who's really country music's king of green, if you will.
Mm. Now, like Sierra, Billy's found acceptance in mainstream country, not only playing with Willie, but also the aforementioned Post Malone. He's scooping everyone up, and burgeoning country star Luke Combs. But I remember seeing Billy Strings in Traverse City, Michigan, back in like 2014 or something, playing with the mandolinist Don Julin. And it was wild, Charlie. You know, it's kind of a cliche to say, oh, you know, I knew so-and-so was going to be a star, but it was riveting to watch this kid play. We can go to some of those recordings he made with Don Julin and get a little taste of the budding virtuosity of this flat-picking wizard.
Man, there's something I really love about a guitar player and a mandolin playing together. It's actually quite challenging. The mandolin decays so quickly. They're both in this higher register, in order to fill space and keep things feeling full, you have to play at a breakneck speed and have an incredible sense of harmony, constantly filling in the chords even when there is just space behind you.
And that's not something we would have encountered in the upper echelons of commercial country. Like, the simplicity and accessibility, I feel like, was paragon for much of mainstream country over the last 20 years. And now all of a sudden, folks like Billy Strings are introducing this level of technique and sheer virtuosity back into the mix.
Important caveat that most of the session players in Nashville are exceptional musicians.
Indeed.
Right? Like, sometimes they've graduated from Berkeley, they've gone to jazz school, whatever. Like, these are great players who are often given, like, you now have one bar to solo. So, right. Really talented people who are not always given the full space because the songs have to maintain a simple language, often because what we're trying to do is serve the vocal. Like, it is the lyric, it is the vocal that is often most important. I always love hearing a virtuosic flat picker in the background if we need to. I have no problem.
All right, we've heard the throwback, Sierra Farrell. We've heard the shredder, Billy Strings. Let's get to know the preacher, channeling the gospel roots of Americana, Tyler Childers. And this artist is huge right now. He is both successful on the country charts, and in sort of the more Americana outlaw space, though, I will say he has some issues with the term Americana, so I want to acknowledge that. I also want to acknowledge we owe Tyler Childers an apology, because when we covered this artist many years ago for the first time, I mispronounced his name as Tyler Childers. A kind listener gently corrected me on my mispronunciation, but I've carried that guilt ever since. So this is an important reckoning. Let's talk about Tyler Childers' most recent record. It's called Rustin' in the Rain. And one song from this album in particular found a lot of success on the country charts and also a lot of controversy. It's called In Your Love.
I will stand my ground. I'm a bad man looking for takers. You're the finest thing around, so I will stand my ground.
Okay, I mean, it's nice. Beautiful ballad.
Beautiful acoustic arrangement. A tender ballad. Tyler Childers singing as he always does, like it might be the last song he ever sings in his life. Yeah, what could be controversial about this? Well, it's not in the song itself, Charles. It's in the music video, which portrays a same-sex relationship between two cowboys, a la Brokeback Mountain. You would think in 2025, is this still controversial? Yes. Apparently, within the world of country music, a same-sex relationship portrayed in a music video can still generate a lot of hateful comments and angry emails. But I respect Tyler Childers for having the conviction to follow through on this vision. He is an unapologetic Americana artist, which I think fits with this outlaw tradition.
It also points to perhaps some of the larger divisions between country and Americana. I sometimes think of Americana as like country for people who listen to NPR. I listen to NPR.
Wow.
Which is to say that, you know, country can often have a code of conservative politics. It leans on tradition. And Americana has often been this other space which has been curious and open to the history and roots of American music, also generally a more progressive space open to more folks. Like, I think about the music festival Biscuits and Banjos that Rhiannon Giddens just put on. You know, she's been this longtime advocate of showing the black roots of American music. And her festival highlights some of the biggest performers in that space. And it's still sort of like this act of reclamation, even though evidently through the instruments, the sounds, the genres, it has always been a bigger tent. And yet politically, it can be divided along these sort of like more progressive, liberal, Americana, you know, quote, more conservative, traditional country. Obviously, the audiences are larger than those divisions. But I think that partially explains why he might both fit into the Americana tradition, but also recoil against it.
Yeah. Tyler Childers is definitely in that tradition, Charlie. He's unafraid to play with country convention. Like on his song Phones and Emails, he has a classic 3-4 waltz time country ballad all about a thoroughly 21st century experience of being left unread.
It's so
insert email my heart.
I'm sure you're busy. I'd say that you're swamped. Lord knows it.
So maybe the problem here is that the object of his affection is on WhatsApp, and they're just on the wrong messaging app. There's too many messengers now.
I never thought I'd say that you're swamped in a country song, but man, he makes it work. But then he's also just going to give you the hits, Charlie. Mm. The title track, Rustin' in the Rain, feels like you're on a runaway freight train.
Ooh. Love that opening slide guitar. Reminds me a lot of the virtuoso Speedy West, who was like the best to ever play the lap steel guitar. I'm not sure that they're playing lap steel there, but it has that same kind of vibe.
Boogeyman.
Fun.
With artists like Sierra Farrell, Billy Strings, and Tyler Childers bringing the throwback, shredding, church revival, Americana sound to the mainstream, you might think, wow, this is so unprecedented. But of course, with all things in music, it's all cyclical, Charlie. This is not the first time a roots revival has shaken up the country music status quo. We've been dancing around this outlaw country scene. After the break, let's dig into it.
Support for Switched on Pop comes from Sonos. What's a moment in a song that you always look forward to? For me, it's got to be the Beatles' A Day in the Life, where at the end there's this George Martin arrangement that just keeps getting tenser and building and grows until at the very end when they hit three different pianos at the same time on the same chord, and it's just the biggest piano sound in the world. It's so satisfying. I feel like those moments can be more satisfying if you're listening through a system designed to deliver exceptional sound, like Sonos. Sonos delivers high-quality, balanced sound at any volume, any time. Sonos speakers are designed to accurately represent the artist's intent and are tuned by some of the most discerning ears in the industry. You can experience a rich listening experience where you get incredible clarity on every note. When you try the Sonos Ace headphones, you can hear the difference for yourself. They seamlessly integrate with the rest of your Sonos system. Just press one button to switch from your Sonos soundbar to your headphones. Unlock the full potential of your listening. Visit Sonos.com to learn more. I have a question for you, Nate.
Yes.
In country music, if you have a banger, should it be called a twanger? The lack of your enthusiasm suggests no.
I'm just taking it in, Charles. You know what? Here, I'll try and casually drop it at some point in the conversation. We'll see if it sticks. Okay.
Okay.
All right, Charlie. Let's go back to the 1970s. If you turn on a country radio station, you're going to hear a style that's been called the Nashville sound or countrypolitan.
Yeah.
It's slick. It's polished. It's orchestrated and lush. Maybe a nice example is a song that you and I used to play by Don Gibson called Oh Lonesome Me.
A lovesick fool that's blind and just can't see. Oh, lonesome me.
Now, to be clear, I love this song.
Yeah, I know you do.
Is it a twanger? No.
No.
It's a little too polished. Especially when those background vocals come in and they're like, ooh, ah. It sounds a little like a factory setting pop song from the era.
Yeah.
In response to this Nashville countrypolitan sound, a group of artists who call themselves outlaw country musicians began to make inroads into the Nashville establishment. Folks like Chris Christopherson, Jesse Coulter, Hank Williams Jr., Waylon Jennings, and of course, Willie Nelson.
Willie Nelson, who had written songs in the Nashville sound, your countrypolitan style, like Patsy Cline's Crazy, but yes, he made a pivot.
So why don't we listen to Mamas, Don't Let Your Babies Grow Up to Be Cowboys by Waylon Jennings and Willie Nelson from 1978.
Mamas, don't let your babies grow up to be cowboys. Don't let them pick guitars or drive them old trucks.
be a cowboy.
Not only is the instrumental palette here contrasting sharply to what we heard from Don Gibson,
or paired back,
it's like a little rough around the edges. It's electrified. It's even got some kind of wah-wah effects and distortion, kind of responding to the rock scene of the era.
Mm-hmm.
And then lyrically, it seems to be poking holes in the very mythos of the Nashville music industry.
Not so wholesome.
The omnipresent figure of the cowboy, John Wayne, striking out across the American frontier. They're saying, actually, not a good career. Maybe try being a doctor or a lawyer instead. It's incredibly funny and entertaining, to be sure, but I think it is kind of taking on some of the central cliches of country music as it was known at that time.
It's funny to me that the song is both an outlaw, but also very normie at the same time.
Yeah, that's
like,
true.
You should be a doctor or a lawyer. Right? It's like a pretty good advice, sound advice. I also love that outlaw country, despite its authentic branding, is posited to get its name from a publicist.
No way.
Yes, publicist Hazel Smith of Glazer Sound Studios is one of the first people to use the name. And so, you know, this sound was a marketed genre just as any other.
Just like bluegrass, which you mentioned earlier, Charles, as a kind of invented tradition that sounds as old as the earth, but in fact is a thoroughly modern phenomenon.
Right.
And that's not a bad thing. These country and Western subgenres get a lot of their animating power from that tension between their authentic roots and their commercial reality.
We're talking emails. We're talking getting professional jobs. Yeah.
All right. Outlaw country is probably the most iconic historical example of more traditional Americana sounds making their way into the mainstream Nashville industry. But Charlie, this happens time and time again following the 1970s. Like in the 1990s and early 2000s, the band that at the time was called the Dixie Chicks and is now called the Chicks, they had a string of Billboard country hits. But they got their start as a bluegrass outfit where they learned the tight harmonies and instrumental dexterity that would propel them to country stardom through songs like Long Time Gone.
I've been a long time gone, been a long time gone. No, I ain't hold a rose since I don't know when. Long time gone, and it ain't coming back again.
Oh, cool. There's fiddle, there's banjo, there's bluesy runs, there's twang.
You know what there's not, Charles? Drums. No drums on this
song.
No
drums, right.
Imagine that. A country hit with no drums. It's very old school. I dig it.
I also noticed that the guitar is tracked as if it's a live guitar. You know, when you plug an acoustic guitar in, it's actually using a type of pickup called a piezo pickup. And it has a different sound than a real acoustic guitar. It sounds like an acoustic guitar live at a concert. And so there's a certain way that they are transmitting that they are a live kind of band that you're supposed to go see at a bandstand, even on this studio recording. Again, playing with this expectations of country is real music that you see live, but also it's a plugged-in acoustic guitar. We're really dealing with the tensions of what it means to be authentic and heritage.
And we find more examples of this as we get closer and closer to the present. Take Chris Stapleton. He is a huge figure in today's country scene. And he got his start in the Americana outfit, the Steel Drivers, before breaking out as a solo star in 2015. And Charles, the discography of this group is stellar, but I'm just going to play you a little bit of one of my personal favorites from them, Higher Than the Wall.
Higher than the wall, a thousand feet tall, high above the darkness where the blue shadows.
Wait a minute. I've listened to the Steel Drivers for a long time and somehow never knew that Chris Stapleton came from the group.
Oh, yeah. And they continued on in different iterations after he left, and they are still killing it out there. But yeah, they were a vehicle for a lot of his songs. He says in these years, he thinks he wrote over 1,000 songs, which is pretty staggering.
Wow.
But that Americana sound absolutely shaped his musical identity. And then there's the album that we've covered here on Country Week already, Cowboy Carter. You mentioned Rhiannon Giddens and her importance in reviving the black old-time tradition, the black banjo tradition. reminding folks about the African American roots of this music. Mm-hmm. And as we've discussed on the pod before, Charles, what's the first sound we hear on Beyoncé's massive hit from that album, Texas Hold'em? It's Rhiannon Giddens' clawhammer banjo.
Right. And I can't remember if I've reported this on the podcast, but I saw her live and tell the story of how it's not just the banjo, it's the minstrel banjo. It's one of the first mass-produced banjos ever made, originally made by a company that made tambourines for the era of minstrelsy. And she continues to play that banjo as one of her core sounds. It has a different sound. It's fretless. It's much deeper. It's more guttural. It's played in this claw hammer style. So there's a sort of, I think, sort of political message that's coming across when we hear a minstrel banjo as the opening to the first sounds that are released off of Cowboy Carter.
That minstrel banjo is emblematic of the way that the country music industry has continually tried to incorporate artists who bring it back to its roots when the music is in times of cultural crisis or in need of reawakening to gain new audiences and find new stylistic avenues. But I do think there's something kind of unique about this latest intervention, this latest merging of the Americana and the mainstream country scene. Because this time, Charlie, the Americana artists are also embracing more modern sounds. Like, they're not just keeping it totally traditional. Whether it's the Punch Brothers, Billy String, Sierra Farrell, Tyler Childers, Sierra Hull, an incredible virtuoso mandolin player, they're not afraid to incorporate the contemporary popular music landscape into their traditional Americana sound. One of my favorite examples of this phenomenon is something that I never thought I would hear. A bluegrass cover by the Americana supergroup I'm With Her, consisting of Sarah Jaroche on mandolin and vocals, Sarah Watkins from Nickel Creek on fiddle and vocals, and Ifo Donovan on guitar and vocals. One of the first artists I think we ever interviewed on Switched on Pop.
Oh my gosh, like, you're right. Yeah.
10 years ago, right? Here's these three brilliant musicians together called I'm With Her, performing none other than Espresso by Sabrina Carpenter.
No.
Now he's thinking about me every night. Oh, is it that sweet? I guess so. Say you can't sleep, baby, I know. That's that me espresso. Move it up, down, left, right, oh. Switch it up like Nintendo. Say you can't sleep, baby, I know. That's that me espresso.
Whoa, you can't stop there. I mean, I love what this is doing. Not only are we listening to a style of music which far precedes the espresso third wave takeover of coffee in the United States,
right,
but also decades before Nintendo ever hits the scene. And beyond just these anachronisms, man, those beautiful vocals, these reharmonizations into the minor, who knew that espresso could be so sultry, so sad, but also so uplifting at the same time.
Perhaps a strange way to end Country Week, five days consecutively exploring the nuances of this genre, but I think it's appropriate because we're in kind of a remarkable moment in the history of this music, and I think a very optimistic moment in a lot of ways. Styles that historically have been opposed are coming together. The policing of race, gender, and sexuality that was such a hallmark of this scene is starting to become a little more porous and lax. I feel pretty excited about what's next in the world of country, Charles.
Well, you know me. I'm always eagerly awaiting the next twanger.
God damn it, it works. You've done it again, Charles.
It doesn't work. It doesn't work. Switched on Pop is produced by Rana Cruz, edited by Art Chung, engineered by Brandon McFarlane and Bill Lance, illustrations by Aris Gottlieb, theme song by Zach Tenario and Jossia Adams of Arc Iris, a member of the Vox Media Podcast Network and a production of Vulture. You can subscribe to NYMag, our parent of Vulture, at nymag.com/pod.
Parent? I like to think of them more as like a governess or something. That's how it is in my mind. Like a benevolent nanny figure. But anyway, you can listen to more episodes of Switched on Pop anywhere you get podcasts. And you can hit us up on social media at Switched on Pop and tell us what you're loving in the Americana scene right now. And go to our website, switchedonpop.com. Sign up for our email list and we'll blast you with a informative yet entertaining dose of musicological inquiry every week.
We'll be back again next Tuesday. And until then, thanks for listening.
Support for Switched on Pop comes from Sonos. Have you ever listened to a song and heard a detail you never heard before? It can feel like you're hearing it for the first time. And that's how it feels when you're listening through a high-quality pair of headphones designed to deliver excellent sound, like the Sonos Ace headphones. They deliver clarity on each note, so you can really feel the music and like you're listening through fresh ears. Hear the difference for yourself. Go to Sonos.com to learn more.